forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strange slips. So tonight, I'm going to take the title there from verse 10, mindful of the rock. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening. Thank you for it. And Lord, we come expecting to hear from you tonight. So use the word and change us through it. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we see here, another warning from the Lord to the Jews and specifically to Damascus and to us, how important it is that we keep God at the forefront of our thinking, of our plans, a lot like what we talked about this morning. You know, we can choose to go forward in our own strength, in our own wisdom, or we can do it in God's strength, in God's wisdom. And one of the things that Israel had fallen into was this thing of pride and looking to what they had done rather than what God can do. And man's had this problem since Cain and Abel, and it hasn't stopped. This thing of trying to take pride in your own works. You asked 100 people on the street, and 90 of them are probably expecting to get themselves to heaven somehow through their own efforts. It's just the way it is. And so we as believers in the Lord have to be careful, because the devil's going to try to use this against us and try to make us think that we can do it in our own strength. And so in this warning, verse 7, God wants to remind us that we need to constantly look to our Maker. I like that word, Maker. We must never forget that God is our Maker, our Creator. We're just the clay. He made us. Therefore, He is in charge. He gets to set the rules. He is the boss. He's the Lord. He's the Master. Look, if you would, at Isaiah 64 and verse 6, where again we're reminded that God is our Maker and we must keep our eyes on Him, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Notice he says here, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Now look at verse 8. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." Look to his Maker. Later on in Romans, Paul points back to this verse, and he says, does the pot have a right to say to the potter, "Why hast thou made me thus?" Well, no. He's the potter. He gets to do whatever he wants. He's sovereign. He's in control. And so God is trying to remind us to keep our eyes on our Maker and remember that He is in charge. He is the one that made us. He is the one that laid everything out for us. And He's a holy Maker. You saw that in verse 7 as well. His eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Now, the fact that God is holy flows through everything, Old and New Testament alike. It's the number one attribute of God, and it leads to the truth that we need salvation. Why? Because God is holy. Well, if God is holy, we aren't. So we have a problem. How can we be rejoined into full fellowship with one that is holy? That's the question that's been around for thousands of years. God gave the solution in Jesus Christ. We must be made holy as well through what Jesus did on the cross. God declares us righteous, declares us holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we'd have no hope. And again, what's the world do? Verse 8, he looks to the work of his hands. He tries to say, oh, I can get myself to heaven. All I got to do is this and this and this, or be a good person, try to keep the Ten Commandments, be nice to my neighbor, whatever. But you're not holy. Got to be holy. God said in the Old Testament, He said in the New Testament, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, we can't. Now, of course, when we get saved, the Holy Ghost moves in, praise God, and gives us help so that we can rely upon Him and walk in Him, and He can help us walk more holy. But what does it take? Verse 7, looking to His Maker. Verse 8, He says, He shall not look to the altars, the work of His hands, neither shall respect that which His fingers have made, either groves or the images. And so God, what He's saying to Israel is, there's going to come a day in the future when Israel gets a new heart. He's referring way ahead to the kingdom age. And during that time, they're going to look to their Maker again. They're going to have respect to the Holy One. And they're going to stop looking to what they have done. But He's saying that this is how they are now. Now, we as believers, we've already gotten past the point of trusting our works to get us to heaven. But we need to be careful about trusting ourselves to get things done for God. Think about that. And God has a lot to say about that in His Word. I'd like to look at some scriptures on that. Let's start in Philippians 3:3 if we could. We cannot trust ourselves, our own strength, our own resources, our own abilities to accomplish things for God. When we try, it is all for naught. It doesn't accomplish anything. Notice Philippians 3:3. The Bible says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. What's He saying there? Can't trust yourself to do it right. A lot like what we talked about this morning. We can't trust ourselves to know the way we're supposed to go. We can't trust our own wisdom to know the right answers. We shouldn't have any confidence in the flesh. But this is one of the number one weaknesses of a Christian that's been saved a while. Is you get into a routine and think, well, I know how to do this. I don't need God's help. You know, Mark's preaching the rest homes first time. He needs a lot of prayer. But if he does it for 10 years, he still needs a lot of prayer because he needs to do it in God's strength. But if you do it for 10 years, it's easy to say, well, I've been doing this for 10 years. I know how to do this. I've been doing it for 10 years. It's no big deal. Confidence in the flesh. Anything that we do for God needs to be done in God's strength. God's ways, not ours. And yet, man has this tendency to look to the work of his hands, to trust what he does, to trust what he is, to get things done. One more passage, look in Galatians 6. I love this verse. It says, verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. God has a bit of a sense of humor because, well, who is something? Nobody. We're all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the Bible says. And so when we think ourselves to be something, by the way, this is another one of the devil's tricks, is to get us to the point where we think, well, I'm a pretty good Christian now. I don't do this anymore, and I don't do that anymore, and I'm doing this, and I do that. I'm pretty good. We think we're something. God says, you deceive yourself when that happens. Because we're nothing. Outside of Jesus Christ, we're nothing. But the devil wants us to start saying, well, you're pretty good. You're better than all these other people. Kind of like the man that went to pray. Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men are, especially like this publican. And who went down to their house justified? The publican. Not the man who was looking at everybody else, comparing and saying, I'm better than them. We cannot trust the work of our own strength, our own wisdom, our own hands. We must trust the Lord. While you're in Galatians 6, look at verse 14. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. Now, there's other passages where Paul said, if I could glory, I would. I know multiple languages. I was brought up at the feet of a famous Jewish teacher. I knew the Old Testament very well. I'm not too bad of a speaker. I'm a really good church planter. And he says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. God forbid. God says in 1 Corinthians 8, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. 1 Corinthians 8, 2. As soon as we think we know something, we're in trouble. As soon as we think we got it all figured out, which is what the devil wants us to think, now we're in trouble. We need to maintain this attitude that we don't know. Be mindful of the rock that has made it all possible. One more passage in Jeremiah 9. I said there was only one more, but I meant two more. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, talking about this matter of looking to the Maker instead of looking to what we do, the work of our hands, as he says here, the things which our fingers have made. Jeremiah 9, 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He says you can't glory in anything that you've done or that you are or that you have. You can only glory in God and the fact that you know Him. And that's what Paul said. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. So God is trying to remind Israel and us that we have to be ever so careful to always be mindful of the rock. Go back to our passage. So verses 7 and 8, look to the Maker. Have respect to the Holy One. Verse 8, don't look at the work of your own hands, the things which your fingers have made, because it's nothing. But instead, verse 10, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and has not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Not been mindful. Right there's the problem. You think the devil doesn't try to trick us into doing this? Into taking God for granted? We do it all the time. When we first got saved, we prayed a lot because we just absolutely didn't know anything. And we read the Bible a lot because it was all new. But now maybe we've been saved 20 years. Well, I don't really have time to pray today. I don't really need to read the Word today. I don't have time. And I've already read the Bible 20 times. Take God for granted. And that's what he's saying. You forgot God. The God of your salvation. You haven't been mindful of the rock of your strength. We have to be constantly remembering who God is and what he's done for us. Look at Psalm 20, verse 7, where David tells us that this was an important aspect of his worship and walk with the Lord. Psalm 20, verse 7, this matter of remembering God, the God of our salvation. We're going to heaven because of God. Not because of anything that we've done. Psalm 20, verse 7, look what David says here. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in earthly things, but we will remember what God has done and who God is. And God is rebuking them. You've forgotten the God of your salvation. You've not been mindful of the rock of your strength. Look at Psalm 18 while you're at Psalms 20. Go back two chapters. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Bible says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God. Look at this next phrase. My strength. Is God your strength? Because if God's your strength, it means you're relying on Him and He's working through you and using you to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. God's doing it. It's not enough just to say, God's my strength. We can all say that. But that's not what this is talking about, is it? It's when we're relying on God and He's accomplishing things through us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But it's through Christ. And Israel had to constantly be reminded and rebuked and unfortunately never got it. You can't trust what you do. You can't trust who you are. You got to trust the Lord. You got to be mindful of the rock of your salvation. You got to keep going back to the beginning and reminding yourself, the only reason I am a Christian, the only reason I even have any hope, the only reason I am who I am is because I'm on the rock. Because I've built my house upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need to be ever mindful of Him. Or the devil's going to trick me into trusting what I do, trusting who I am, trusting my wisdom, trusting my works, my strength, whatever. We have to be ever so careful. Now, if we could look at 2 Corinthians 12, I want to show you an example from the life of Paul. We look at this example often, but Paul had to learn this lesson as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're talking about strength, the rock of our strength. Notice, thinking about strength, Paul besought the Lord to take the thorn away. And in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Think about what, that's God speaking, by the way, to Paul. And he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. What does that mean? It means we can't be strong unless we're weak. We cannot be strong in the Lord unless we're letting God do it. Because if we try to do it on our own strength, then we're not admitting that we're weak. We think we're strong. And if we think we're strong, we're not relying on God, so God's strength isn't there. And Paul said, God gave me this thorn to teach me this lesson, to be ever mindful of my rock, of my salvation, because I have a tendency, by the way, Paul was a sinner too, we all are, because he said, I have a tendency toward pride. And again, Paul reminded the people many times that if it would have been allowed to run rampant, Paul could have bragged about a lot of things. But he never did. Because he was ever mindful, but God never wanted him to forget. And so he said, Paul, I'm going to give you some weaknesses here. I'm going to give you this thorn. It's not to hold you back. It's to keep you remembering. It's not to make you weak in accomplishing things for God, but it's to keep you weak in yourself so you rely on me. You know, God, he came to God three times. Lord, I'm a church planner. Lord, I'm an important person in your program. I'm the 12th apostle to the Gentiles. I don't need this thorn. It's slowing me down. You would think that God would have said, well, fine, I'll take the thorn away so you can run on and accomplish more. No, Paul, I'm not taking the thorn away. Because you need it. Every day you need to be reminded, you can't do this in your own strength. You need my strength. And that's when Paul said in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Same thing God is saying to Israel here in Isaiah chapter 17. He says in verse 10, thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. See, Jesus is the rock of our salvation, but He's also the rock of our strength. He became the rock of our salvation the day we got saved. But that didn't guarantee that we were going to do everything through His strength. Because we're sinners, And our tendency is toward pride. So what he's saying is, now that you're standing on the rock, I want you to serve me in my strength, not your own. And you think that's a daily battle? It is. It is. We looked at a passage in 2 Corinthians 4 a couple weeks ago. Let's look at it again, talking about the earthen vessels. And again, we have to be constantly reminded of this, that our strength has to come from God, that we can't look to the work of our hands. We have to look to our Maker, the God of our salvation. And notice here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The excellency of the power. What is he saying there? Well, God is the one that needs to get the glory, but God is the one that has the power. And we talked about this passage a few weeks ago. We're just dirt. We're just earthen vessels. And without God's strength, we can't do anything. But we have to be mindful of the rock. Mindful of the rock of our strength, of our Maker, of the God of our salvation, of the Holy One. We have to be mindful of Him. And leaning on Him, and as it says in verse 8, not on the work of our fingers, not on what we've done. We are not going to get to heaven and fall on our face before a holy Lord and start bragging about the things we did. It just isn't going to happen, is it? We're just going to be in awe of His holiness and of His greatness and so grateful that we're just there. We're not going to start spouting off all the things that we did for God. Now, there are people that try there in Matthew chapter 7. But they're trying it because they're not saved. And so they're saying, did we not do this and prophesy in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And he said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Doesn't matter that you did all this stuff. You weren't on the rock. I never knew you. Well, we're on the rock. And yet, how many times is our tendency, just like here with Israel, to forget the God of our salvation, to forget the rock of our strength? Every day God wants us to remember, to be mindful of that rock. Then He can do great things through us. He can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Mindful of the rock, let's pray.